Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight, we have three stories from hikers who are venturing off into the wilderness and have stories to tell you. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. I've been an avid hiker for most of my life. Growing up in Colorado means that I'm still finding new places to explore, even after 20 years of weekly expeditions. A few days ago, my friend Jane approached me. We had explored several canyons and mountains together, and I knew her as an extremely competent climber. Jane was shaken up. She told me that she had been scrolling around on Google Maps and found a promising canyon to explore. She had gone there with her dog to check it out. Apparently, the canyon was beautiful, perfect for hiking. But in the end, she had found something extremely odd. It was a broken dam. A broken dam that looked to be centuries old. It was made of rough stones linked together. She said that it had to be 200 feet tall at the very least. I said that it sounded amazing, but she cut me off. "This dam felt wrong," she said. "I'm not superstitious, but this thing gave off a vibe that I could almost taste in the air." She pointed to her dog. Major was freaking out too. I was more than a little intrigued. I wasn't the superstitious type. So her description caught my imagination. I found myself thinking about it over and over during the following days. I finally asked her to send me the address of the road near the opening of the canyon. The start of my hike up the canyon was perfect. It was clearly afternoon in the Colorado spring, which meant the heat of the day was more than countered by a cool breeze. The hike was fairly easy, though I had to scramble up a few sets of rocks that blocked the path. Then I saw it. A large broken structure of rough stone dominated the canyon before me. The left side of the wall was all but broken away, though the right was still intact enough for me to see that Jane was right. It had to have been a dam 100 years back. The ruins towered over the canyon like the remnants of the Tower of Babel. Even the jagged remains of the structure seemed to be pointing to the late afternoon sun. I took a picture of the right half of the dam, which you can see here. That's when I noticed that everything was still. As I had been hiking, the wind had constantly rustled the tall grass, the occasional bird would chirp, and I'd even swatted at occasional bugs, though they were rare in Colorado. But now, I licked a finger and held it out to feel for the wind's direction. Nothing. The canyon was eerily completely still. I approached the dam, jarringly aware of every noise I made, from the crunch of rocks under my feet to even small things like the material of my shorts rubbing together. My small sounds amplified to fill the deafening silence that swept the canyon. Jane was right about another thing, too. The dam was wrong somehow. Everything about it made my stomach tighten with anxiety. But despite the feeling, it was also somehow magnetic. It drew me closer. I climbed the hillside, approaching the bottom of the stone structure. Then, just above the ground, I saw it. A tunnel carved into the stone and rock. I stared into its black maw. The fear and anxiety in my gut increased, but I was shocked to find myself walking closer. The tunnel exited back into the darkness underground as far as I could see. I took a picture, which you can see here. "You're being ridiculous," I told myself. "Jane's stories are filling your head and you're doing the rest yourself. There's nothing wrong with this tunnel. In fact, there may be something cool to discover on the other end." I nodded, set my teeth, and crawled up into the tunnel. I had to crawl on my hands and knees, but that wasn't the issue. I got some experience caving, and this was far more forgiving than that. At least, that's what I told myself as my instincts told me to turn around. I paused to take a picture of the tunnel's opening behind me. I continued crawling into the tunnel for another dozen feet or so. That's when I heard whispers coming from deeper in the tunnel. I couldn't hear what they were saying perfectly, but there were at least three or four different voices, each talking to me. They were each trying to convince me to come deeper into the tunnel. I finally decided to listen to my instincts, stomach, and goosebumps. Turning around was painfully slow in my cramped space. I crawled towards the sunlight, trying to ignore the fact that the whispers were clearly getting louder and closer. That's when a freezing cold hand gripped around my right ankle. I jerked, kicking it away and scrambling back down the tunnel, scraping my knees and palms raw. I hit the grass outside hard and scrambled away. Staring into the tunnel, I saw nothing but black. I turned and ran back up the canyon, moving as fast as I dared. After a half an hour of running, I made it back to my car. I need to do some research on this dam. If I find anything else out, I'll update you all. A few days ago, my little brother Rob and I set out on a multi-day hiking trip through the Appalachian Mountains. We're both pretty good outdoorsmen and brought only what we could carry on our backs. We purposefully set off to avoid established trails, hoping to discover some place that no one had ever explored before. The first 2 days were beautiful. We walked through trees, crossed some small streams, and took some great pictures. The temperature was unreasonably warm, so much so that we often took off our sweaters to not overheat. It was the third day that the strangeness started. As we climbed a ridge, Rob noticed that some of the dirt had been eroded away, leaving stone. Somebody had clearly carved stairs into the stone. We followed them as we climbed. If you had spent any time in the woods, you would know that there are several telltale signs of human activity. Trash, campfires, that sort of thing. We hadn't seen any of them up to this point, so seeing stairs excited and confused us. How old were they? Were they carved by the Native Americans? The stone path continued deeper into the woods. We didn't have a better plan, so we decided to see where it led. At times it was hard to keep track of, but after some searching, we would always pick it up again. Later that night, we set up our tent, and I stepped outside to look up at the stars. They were not the same stars that I had seen the past 2 nights. Now, I know many of you may be asking me what I mean. After all, most people can only identify the Big Dipper or Orion's Belt at most. Not me, though. I'm studying astronomy in college right now. My on-campus job is to align telescopes to the right spot in the right constellation. So when I tell you that the stars were not right, I know what I'm talking about. There were stars, for sure, but not any constellations. There were stars, for sure, just not any constellations I recognized. That's what unsettled me the most. I returned to the campsite to tell Rob, but he cut me off. "Does it smell strange to you?" he asked. It did. I couldn't explain it very well, but the air smelled off. They say that smells activate memories more than any other sense, and this one was powerful. It reminded me of a cave I had nearly been trapped in when I was a teenager. It reminded me of a car accident I had seen a year back. I don't mean to say it actually smelt like any of those things, just that it reminded me of them somehow. We went to bed feeling uneasy. Our compass still worked, and I told myself I might have missed constellations due to overworking myself. I knew that wasn't true, but it's what got me to sleep that night. The next day we set out again, determined to get through this strange part of the forest. The sense of disorientation from the night before got worse and worse though. If we weren't staring directly at our compass, we found ourselves lost in the woods, forced to hack our way back onto the stone path. The forest grew thick and muggy, and the trail led us into a steep valley. We were forced to continue forward. I kept seeing something in the woods out of the corner of my eye. Rob reported seeing the same thing. The forest was dark, though, despite it being nearly midday. We started switching off with one of us as a guide, but the forest was so thick that it was hard to keep an eye on our compasses for long. "Dude," Rob said from in front of me. I paused, following his gaze. He was staring up at a tree. Three squirrels were hanging from them, each with trails of blood soaking the tree beneath them. A symbol was carved above them that I didn't recognize. We stared at it for a long time, not sure what to do. The squirrels couldn't have been more than a few days old. We talked about it and made the decision to push on ahead. We were almost through the park, and we'd come across the road if we ever made it through to the other side. We might not have made that decision if we knew we had passed a dozen more of those trees just like that one alongside the stone trail. Some trees were strung up with squirrels, but we saw raccoons, bunnies, and even the remains of a deer rotting on a tree. We tried not to look at them and instead pressed on with more speed. We were pausing to drink some water when I heard a low croaking sound from behind us. I turned and for the first time saw the black figure. It was a woman, crouched down in the underbrush. She was staring at the two of us. My entire body screamed at me to move, but I couldn't. The smell from earlier was thick and heavy in the air. I swapped my phone for the camera and took a picture, not daring to move. The snap of the phone was enough to break us out of our trance, and we took off running. We followed the stone trail back the way we had come, not slowing down until we were puffing for air. We looked around, but didn't see her. Here's the picture that I took on my phone. When we had caught our breath a little, we continued, not stopping until we passed the first stone steps on the ridge late that night. I'm not sure what we saw or what it was. If anyone had heard about an entity like this in the forest, please let me know. I'm scared. It's been a few days. And I still smell it. Around a week ago, I came across a forum talking about a hot springs up in the mountains by a river. According to the posters, it was extremely picturesque. So I decided to check it out for myself. I wanted to see some stars, so I planned to take a trip to arrive as the sun was setting. The drive took far longer than I expected. I figured the springs would be pretty far out there, but after an hour of driving, the roads lost any markings and I had to rely on my GPS. The trailhead was so hard to see that I missed it my first time driving by. I set up the trail, recording a short video as I walked. It took me another half an hour of walking. The sun soon set, and I was forced to rely on a flashlight to not trip over the many large rocks in the path. After a few close calls, I finally made it to the pools. They were amazing. The river fell sharply along the valley floor, and someone had constructed several pools of streaming water along the sides that followed the course of the river. A strong smell of sulfur permeated the air, I figured from the volcanic activity that heated the springs. I didn't take these pictures, but they're similar to what I'm talking about. That's when I noticed two points of light staring at me from the nearest, lowest pool. It was a man with long black hair, soaking in the water. I pulled my flashlight away from him, trying not to blind him. "How's it going?" I asked. "Mind if I hop into one of those higher pools?" The man's face was shrouded in shadow, but I could have sworn I could see two faint points of light where his eyes were. He didn't respond. I cleared my throat and said, "Okay," and headed up the river to the highest pool. The warm water was the perfect complement to the earlier fall air. I laid back, taking in the hundreds of stars in the sky. After a few minutes of this, I sat up, looking back down the pools towards the man. He was gone. I shook my head, figuring he was just upset to having his solitude ruined. That's when a fierce wind cut through the trees surrounding the river. The trees whipped and waved, their silhouettes moving like creatures in the night. The air brought in by the wind was bitter cold. I coughed and was shocked to see my own breath. Goosebumps raised on my exposed shoulders and neck. It must have dropped some 20 degrees over the course of 30 seconds. I plunged my whole head under the water, the warmth easing the cold skin on my face. I pulled my head back out, rubbing the water from my eyes and looked around. Their eyes emitted a sharp yellow light, but they made no moves other than to stare. Looking further down the river, I saw that each pool was similarly full of dozens of black silhouettes, each one with yellow eyes, each one staring up at me. I scrambled backwards, hands slipping along the stone. I turned, lost my footing, and hit my arm hard as I fell on the rocks. I pushed backward with my feet, shooting a terrified look back over my shoulder at the pool. It was empty. All of the pools were. I gathered up my things as fast as I could, wincing in pain from my scraped and bruised arm, and got the hell out of there as fast as I could. I was just so afraid of seeing one of those things again. All I know is, I'm never doing something like that again.